Ian Pickus here, back in the congressional corner today with Republican U.S. Senate candidate Mike Sapricone. He's running against Democrat Kirsten Gillibrand in November. Our time is short, so I'm going to try to run through as many things as I possibly can here in today's conversation. Earlier, you mentioned some pressing issues that you see: inflation, the economy, immigration. Let's start with immigration. If elected to the Senate, specifically, what would you do? And I'll just preface the conversation by saying there was a grand compromise bill that was torpedoed when President Trump said to House Republicans, we can't give Biden a win on this. Maybe that's ancient history now, but specifically, how would you change our immigration system?
I think we need to go back with the laws. I don't think an executive order that opened up the borders was right. Okay, I think we need to have zero tolerance until we straighten things out. I
mean, we have meaning no one can come in.
I think we stop until we know what we're doing. We can't do plan B because there is no plan A now. It's just, look what happened in Aurora, Colorado, just yesterday, where these migrants took over an apartment building, and now the people had to leave the apartment building because it's not safe to be there. I think we slow things down. We start putting more judges in place. I think we hire more Border Patrol, and then we evaluate. Okay, we take a little break. We evaluate who's really here. What does asylum mean? There's a law about asylum. It's not just come in and say, I'm here for asylum. And the idea that you might be here 7, 8, 9 years before you get a hearing is ridiculous, because you lose track of these people. You don't know where they are or what they're doing. Listen, I'm sure most of them are great, wonderful people who've come here to work, but we have people coming across this border. I think last year there was only 150 people found on the terrorist watch list out of the millions that came into this country. We don't know who else is on that because they got through without even being stopped. So we need to reevaluate how we let people in.
Now, you were at the Republican convention in Milwaukee. There were some chants and some conversation about, you know, kind of doing a deportation program for the people who are already here, who could number, estimates say, you know, 15, 16 million who are really integrated into American society by now. As you say, they've been here for a number of years.
Right.
What would you do about that? I mean, is that a road you want to go down?
I don't think it's a realistic road. I mean, you're talking a lot of people, 15,
yeah.
16 million. I know it was said and it was spoken about, but I don't think it's a realistic road. I mean, it'd probably create a lot of jobs for us to be able to do something like that here, right?
Well, I think studies have shown jobs that, you know, native-born Americans don't want to do in a lot of cases.
I don't mean by that. I mean hiring more law enforcement people to deport them. That's what I meant.
I stand corrected.
You're correct. You're 100% right. And we thank God for that sometimes, right? But I think it's unrealistic. I think, again, we need a plan to be in effect. I think that's just, listen to what we're hearing from both sides, okay? All of a sudden, the Democratic nominee wants to build a wall, where she called it a vanity thing of Trump's a while back. So there's so many crazy things being said, especially at the conventions. It's a big pep rally. But there is substance to things. And I think we need to reevaluate how we do it and make a reasonable. Everything is about common sense and reasonable decisions. We're not doing that. Everybody is pandering to their bases. Come on, get it together. Understand what the American people need. Work together and do what's best for everybody. And that's what I think we need to do.
Okay, inflation. It's been stubborn. It's coming down. I read from one analyst that gas will be under $3 a gallon on average sometime this fall. So, you know, it's tricky, obviously. There's probably no magic bullet. What would you do about the economy as you see it right now?
Well, you know, I look at, I grew up where you'd go buy a dozen eggs and my mother would send me to buy a half dozen eggs, crack the container and go bring home a half dozen.
And make sure the six are all intact.
Oh, did I tell you this story last time? So my concern was always that I always broke one. So now what do? I want to be a cop. I'm young. Do I leave the broken egg in the pack and get in trouble that way? Or do I bring the broken egg home to my mother and get in trouble that way? It was always a problem.
The early judge shopping.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. But now I go in a store and people want to buy two eggs. Okay, look at the cost of what it I bought my wife a half a gallon of milk. She drinks some Skim Plus or something. $6.29 for a half a gallon of milk. I mean, how do people survive? You worry about your kids doing well. How do you survive? How do you just work one job? And it's hard. So we need to, again, work on that. We're talking about middle class tax cuts and this and that. And those things stem to bring inflation back up again, okay, as we do things like that. So we need to be smart. We need to just stop the yelling and screaming what we're going to do until we realize what's the best thing to do to bring the economy back to where it is. But it's certainly different. I mean, In the city, gas is like, I don't know, $4. I'm making up a number close. So I assumed when I come up here, well, gas will be really cheap, right? I paid $4.79 for a gallon of gas the other day in my car.
$4.79? Where were you?
I don't know. Somewhere up here. One of the 62 great counties in our country, in our state. But I didn't realize that we have to drive all that gasoline up here, right? There's no dock or any, you know, pier that we can pull into and unload gasoline. So it was an awakening for me to realize, hey, these products have to get up here. And it costs money to get up here. And that's important. We need to look at how we deal with that. How do we cut the prices down, but not just cut the prices down for one part of the state? How do we make it reasonable for the entire state? And okay. That's hard to do.
Related subject. New York Governor Kathy Hochul put a pause on the congestion pricing plan that was supposed to go into effect in June. And then in recent days at the Democratic convention, she's talked about revisiting it sometime before the end of the year. Do you support any form of the congestion pricing plan under which drivers, you know, largely coming from upstate, would pay a premium toll to go into lower Manhattan?
So just quickly, you know, I had a radio show for, right? Yes. Street Smart. And sometimes I get confused as a detective. Am I interviewing you or interrogating you?
Well,
so I'd love to ask you a question on this, but I think it's political.
But I'm not running for Senate.
I know you're not. But I think it's I want to answer your question. I think it's political. I think all of a sudden she decides in the last minute. They spent millions of dollars putting up the things, whatever you call them, so that your easy pass goes by or your license plate goes by. And all of a sudden she backs off of this right before, like, you know, a couple months before the election. If that's not political, I don't know what is. And why should school teachers and cops and firemen, why should anybody who lives in these boroughs have to pay a tax to go into Manhattan? It's ridiculous. It's terrible. It's the wrong thing to do. You know why it's wrong also? In the subway system, and I'm an old transit cop, okay, we lose almost $700,000 a day in people not paying their subway fare. And another ridiculous figure close to that, people not paying their bus fare, which they're starting to crack down on. These are quality of life, simple things. How about we do our jobs, let the police do their jobs, let's get those summonses, let's lock up people who have warrants for jumping over the turnstiles. Let's get people who don't have warrants, let's give them a summons, and let's enforce that they pay that. And we wouldn't have to worry about congestion pricing.
We're running out of time, of course, but what would you say to the rebuttal to that just further criminalizes poverty, you know?
I don't think it does. I don't think it does at all. I think we need to be realistic and, again, use common sense. I don't think it criminalizes poverty at all. I think the idea of congestion pricing is criminal. Okay, how do you expect people to come to work every day and yet you want to take $15 a day out of their pockets when inflation is crazy, when there's not enough jobs out there, when people are struggling? It's not fair.
There's a proposition on New York's ballot in the fall, Prop 1, the Equal Rights Amendment. There was a statewide effort launched just a few days ago by several Republicans who are raising concerns about it. How do you plan to vote?
Well, I'm going to vote against it. Okay, I think, you know, people are selling it as an abortion law, and I think we have an abortion law in New York State, and I think that's the law that we've chose. I think this is being more flip-flopped in a whole bunch of different directions. It's about women's sports. It's about changing sex things. It's about parents not having a right to. So I think they're packaging as an abortion thing, but I think there's a whole bunch of other stuff in there. Personally, I'm going to vote no against it.
Okay. You have 1 minute left. Let's hear your case. If someone's listening to this and they are going to vote in the Senate race in the fall, why should they vote for you as opposed to Senator Gillibrand?
Well, I think because I show common sense. I think of my background as a law enforcement officer. I think my background as a business person. I think that I care and I want to engage with people and listen to people's problems and concerns and try to do the best I can to help them. I think those are important issues. I think one party system here in the state of New York, we have two Democratic senators, a Democratic governor. Democrats control the assembly. The Democrats control the state legislature. I think it's not a fair way to live. I think we need to have everybody's voices expressed. These are not just conservative and Republican issues. These are American issues. And that's important. That's resonating with everybody. I'm going to be the senator for everybody. I don't really care what affiliation you have. I don't care about any of that stuff. If you're a resident in this great state, I want to be the senator for you, and I don't care what affiliation you have. I want to represent you to the best of my ability, and I've always worked hard, and I will always continue to work hard.
That's Mike Sapricone, the Republican candidate for U.S. Senate in New York. He's running against Kirsten Gillibrand, the Democrat, in November 5th's election. It's getting closer all the time. Mike, thank you so much for coming back in. And as we say to everybody, good luck.
Thank you, Ian. It was great to be here.